شش نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فحدثني عدة من أهل العلم بأسانيدهم المتصلة إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. رواه أبو داود والترمذي.
رضي الله تعالى عنه وعمر المغرب بن ابي شيبه حدثنا وكيع الحاء وحدثني محمد بن المثنى حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن عن سفيان عن ابي هشام عن ابي بجلس عن ليس عبادة رضي الله تعالى عنه عنه قال سمعت ابا ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه يكسر ونزل اذان اصفان بمثل حديث مجيب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاه والسلام على سيد الانبياء واشرف المرسلين نبينا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين ومن تبعهم باحسان الى يوم الدين. اما بعد، وبسند المتصلين الامام الحافظ الحجه امير المؤمنين في الحديث ابي عبد الله محمد بن اسماعيل بن ابراهيم بن هريره بن الوثير بن وكيع البخاري اللهم ارحم عبد الواسع وانفعنا بعلومه وارحمنا في فطرته امين. انه قال بعد قول الله تعالى وضربهم على سنة الصبر يوم القيامه وان اعمال بني ادم وهم لم تزن، وقال ذلك القصاص العبد الرميه ويقال القسم مصدر المفسد وهو العالم، واما القاسم فهو الجاهل. وبه قال حدثنا احمد بن هشام قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمر بن القعقاع عن ابي زرعه عن ابي هريره رضي الله عنه وعن كل صحابه اجمعين قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين هذين حبيبتين الرحمن ثقيلتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى through His infinite mercy and grace has granted us this invaluable opportunity to be present in the gathering of Khatm al-Bukhari. This majlis is associated to the af'al and aqwal of Sayyid al-Mursaleen, our most beloved Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Hadith Hadrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, whilst mentioning the aghraz of studying Ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst mentioning the benefits of studying the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, used to say that if there was no benefit, there are plenty benefits in studying the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Hadith Shaykh al-Hadith rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, if there was no benefit in studying the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would still study his ahadith because he is our Mahbub. He is our Mahbub. And the kalam of the Mahbub is also Mahbub. Ma'ari ibn Isa rahimahullah ta'ala says that Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala kana Malikun إذا أراد أن يحدث بحديث ونرى إمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى desired to mention a حديث of our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اغتسل he would perform غسل وتبخر and he would use بخور وتطيب and he would use perfume, عطر. And if whilst reading the ahadith, discussing the ahadith, someone raised his voice, he would say, اغضض من صوتك, lower your voice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtil nabi. Do not raise your voices over the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one who raises his voice over the voice of a muhaddith when he is narrating a hadith, it is as if he is raising his voice over the voice of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala was unwell. Great muhaddis, great faqih, the son-in-law of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and as a result of his illness he was resting, he was lying down on his bed, and somebody came to visit him and he asked a question regarding a hadith. So Sayyidina Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala with much difficulty got up from his lying down position. So the person said, why did you trouble yourself? You could have replied to my answer whilst lying down. Sayyidina Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala said, it does not befit me that I talk about a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst lying down. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala was once sat reclining against a pillow or a wall, and somebody asked him something regarding Ibrahim ibn Tahman rahimahullah ta'ala. So Ibrahim ibn Tahman rahimahullah ta'ala was not a hadith, he was a person connected to hadith. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala sat respectfully. He left the reclining position. Somebody said, why are you doing this? Relax. So he said, it does not befit me that I talk about Ibrahim ibn Tahman rahimahullah ta'ala whilst in the reclining position. This is the status of hadith in the eyes of the luminaries of Islam. The great Ayyumah, Ayyumatul Hadith, Ayyumatul Fuqaha, our Akabir, our Mashaykh. Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala was a great Muhaddis. And Ibn Asakir, Hafid Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala was junior to him. He traveled all the way from Sham to Naysabur in Iran in order to acquire hadith from Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala. Hafid ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala, great muhaddis, during his student days he traveled all the way from Sham The next Sabur in Iran to acquire a hadith from Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala says that he had so much greed for ilm that he tired me in 3 days. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala himself was very greedy. All the muhaddisin, all the ulama are greedy to pass on whatever they have. This has been the culture. The seniors were greedy to pass on whatever they had to the juniors, and the juniors tried their utmost to take whatever they were able to from their seniors. So Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala was also very greedy. He was also haris to pass on whatever he had to the likes of Hafiz Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala. But imagine the hirs and the greed of Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala that Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala says that in 3 days I got tired. Because he would not leave my back. More. Can I come back after Zohar again? Can I come before Asar? When can I come back again? He said, in 3 days, I got so tired that I took oath that I will never open the door for the student again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this hirs for ilm. And may this hirs for ilm remain until we breathe our last. Manhumani la yashba'an. Manhumani la yashba'an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two greedy people who never feel satiated. Harisun fil ilm la yashba'u minhu wa harisun fil dunya la yashba'u minha. The haris of ilm, he never feels satiated. I want more. And haris fi dunya, he will also never feel satiated. I want more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from becoming haris fi dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to become haris fi dunya. So Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala said, I swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I took an oath that for this student I will not open the door. The following day somebody knocked at the door of Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala. He opened the door after ascertaining who it was someone else. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Who are you? So he said, inni rasul rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ilayk. This newcomer said, inni rasul rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ilayk. I am a messenger to you from the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I saw last night in a dream Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed me, imdhi ila al-Farabi. When you wake up in the morning, go to Imam al-Farabi and convey my message to him. Say to him, قَدِمَ بَلَدَكَ رَجُلٌ شَامِيٌ أَسْوَرُ لَوْنٌ يَتْلُبُ حَدِيثِ. قَدِمَ بَلَدَكَ, there has come to you in Nisabur a young man who is from Sham and who has brown complexion, and he has only come in quest of my hadith. He is a talibul hadith, yatlubu hadithi. Fala tamallanhu, do not become tired of him. We undervalue the talibina ilmi nubuwwat, and we undervalue the muallimina ilmi nubuwwat. Certain sectors of the community actually look down upon the ulama and the talaba and the madaris. The ulama and the talaba hold a very great status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result of them striving towards understanding the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the kalam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they acquire the tawajjuh and the attention of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator of this incident says that after this message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whenever Hafiz ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala used to present himself in the majlis of Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala for the sima of hadith, the teacher would never say that enough or tomorrow or after asr. The narrator says, فَكَانَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ لَا يَقُومُ مِن مَجْلِسِهِ حَتَّى يَقُومَ الْحَافِظِ. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah ta'ala, after this instruction from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would not get up from his majlis until Ibn Asakir, the student, would not get up. As far as all the other students were concerned, they had stipulated times. But when Ibn Asakir would come, because of the instruction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Abdullah al-Farabi rahimahullah would not get up. This is the status of the talibin-e-ilm-e hadith due to the status of the ahadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Mamun Rashid was once with Yahya ibn Aktham rahimahullah ta'ala. Yahya ibn Aktham rahimahullah ta'ala was a great muhaddith also. Mamun Rashid said to Yahya ibn Aktham rahimahullah ta'ala, "O Yahya, man azim nas, who is the most honorable from the people?" So Yahya ibn Aktham rahimahullah ta'ala thought for a while, and thereafter he said, "Anta ya Amir al-Mu'minin, O Amir al-Mu'minin, you are the most honorable of the people." And the logic was, you are Amir al-Mu'minin. You are Amir al-Mu'minin, you are looking after the affairs of the Muslims, you are looking after all the masajid, all the madaris, all the ulama are being looked after by you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is utilizing you for the khidmat of the ummah, for the khidmat of deen. So there is no one who can be more honorable than you. So Mamun Rashid, who was the Khalifa of the time, Mamun Rashid said, "You have made an error. Shall I not tell you who is the most honorable from amongst the people?" He said, "The most honorable amongst the people is that muhaddis who sits in a corner of a masjid or a corner of a madrasa, and he says, 'Haddasana fulanun an fulanin an fulanin an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.'" So Yahya ibn Aktham rahimahullah ta'ala said that this person who is teaching a hadith in a corner of a madrasa, in a corner of a masjid, is the most honorable. When you are the Amir al-Mu'mineen and you also belong to the family of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, the cousin of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Yes, may Allah have mercy on you. This person is the most honorable. Why? لأن اسمه مقترن باسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because his name is connected to the name of our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. These students, wherever they will go, may Allah سبحانه وتعالى grant them acceptance, and may Allah سبحانه وتعالى utilize them for the service of deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them opportunities to serve Kitabullah and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they will go. If they are given the opportunity to teach ahadith, they will begin by saying, "I have heard from my ustad so and so. I have heard from my ustad so and so. I have heard from my ustad Sheikh Harun or Sheikh Muhammad or Sheikh so and so." The name of the muhaddithin is connected to the golden chain that leads to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nobody can remove that name. Sometimes I say to the ulama and the students that when we read the sanad of the hadith, "Haddasana Muhammad, Haddasana Ahmad ibn Ashqab, What do you know about Ahmad ibn Ashqab? And then when you say, Qala haddasana Muhammad ibn Fudail, what do we know about Muhammad ibn Fudail? And Umar ibn al-Qaqa, how much do you know about Umar ibn al-Qaqa? Abu Zurah, what do we know about Abu Zurah? Al-Abi Hurairah r.a. Allah ta'ala, we may know a little regarding the Sahaba Rizwanullah ta'ala Ali Majmain and the very well-known muhaddisin like Abu Zurah r.a. Despite knowing nothing, many a times even the teacher doesn't know who Ahmad ibn Ashqab is. Where he was born, where he passed away. Despite that, nobody can remove these names. Ahmad ibn Ashqab will remain in this chain until the day of Qiyamah. Muhammad ibn Fudail will remain in this chain until the day of Qiyamah. Umar ibn Qata will remain in this chain until the day of Qiyamah. So much so that the names of these present teachers will remain in the chain of narration forever and ever. So Mamun Rashid said, Lianna he is the most honorable, the one who teaches hadith. Why? Lianna ismahu muqtarinun bi ismi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his name is connected to the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nahna nafna wa namut. One day we will perish, one day we will die. And when we perish, when we die, after a few years, our names will also perish. But this person whose name is attached to the chain of golden chain of narration, لا يفنى ولا يموت أبدا. He will never perish and he will never die. So anything connected to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be revered, my friends. We revere the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we revere the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but anything connected to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and anything connected to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs also to be revered. The talaba, the madaris, the ulama, the books. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, utlubu al-ilm, acquire ilm. And what is ilm? Quran and hadith. Quran is the foundation of ilm. Ahadith al-sharifa is the first commentary of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything spreads from there. So ilm is Quran and hadith. So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to everybody, utlubul ilm, seek ilm, remain in quest of ilm. فَإِنْ أَجَزْتُمْ فَأَحِبُّ أَهْلَهُ. And if you are unable to acquire ilm, then love the people of ilm. Acquire ilm, remain a talibul ilm until you breathe your last. But if you are unable to, فَأَحِبُّ أَهْلَهُ, love the people of ilm. Love the people who are associated to ilm either as teachers or as students. And thereafter Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala says, فَإِن لَمْ تُحِبُّوهُمْ, if you are unable to love them, you have stooped so low that you are unable to love them, فَلَا تُبْجِزُوهُمْ. Never entertain hatred for the people of ilm in your heart. So friends, this is my first message today. Let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah from today we will revere ilm. We will revere ilm, ilm al-nubuwwah. We will revere ilm. We will revere anything associated to ilm. Whenever we see a piece of paper lying on the ground with inscriptions of hadith or Quran, what do we do? We pick that paper up. Why? Because of ilm. We revere that paper because of the ilm only. So when we look at these talibin ilm al-nubuwwah or the ulama, we need to revere them because the ilm is written on their hearts. Their hearts are treasures of ilm, treasures of ahadith, treasures of scores of verses of the glorious Quran. So we need to revere them. We need to revere ilm. We need to revere anything associated to ilm. And thereafter, my friends, because ilm is something that is to be revered, why should we not connect ourselves to ilm? Let us also become talibul ilm. Let us try our utmost to encourage our children to become talibul ilm.
doon ci bari insha Allah we will acquire ilm, we will practice that ilm and we will propagate that ilm. The author of this book, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, was one of the greatest personalities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent on the surface of this earth. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is undoubtedly the Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith, Sayyid al-Muhaddisin, Imam Ashab al-Hadith. He is the leader of the Muhaddisin. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, who is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah alayhi's teacher, he says, Ma akhrajat Khurasan mithla Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. Khurasan has not given birth to anyone like Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah ta'ala said, Ma tahta adim al-samai alamu bil hadith min Muhammad ibn Ismail. Under the shade of the heaven, under the roof of the sky, there is no one more knowledgeable in the science of hadith than Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, despite all his excellence, he said, Ashhadu an annahu laysa fi dunya mislu. I bear witness that there is no one like you, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And once he came into the company of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, and out of reverence he kissed the forehead of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, and thereafter he said in humbleness, with reverence, Da'ni uqabbilu rijlai. Ya Ustad al-Ustadeen, wa ya Sayyid al-Muhaddisin, O the leader of the Muhaddisin, and O the teacher of the teachers, grant me permission to kiss your feet. Great personality. In ilm and amal both. In ilm and amal both. Bukhari Sharif is a clear proof of his status as far as ilm is concerned. And amal, he himself said during the latter part of his life that I hope, it is my hope and I assume that on the day of Qiyamah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question me regarding riba. إني أرجو الله يحاسب الله يحاسبني أني اقتبت أحدا. And he said that I hope, it is my hope, this is out of humbleness. But he himself was sure that after reaching the age of puberty I have not backbited anyone. This was the level of amal. So level of ilm, level of amal, both very high. And when a person enjoys level of ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, level of ilm only, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give him grant him acceptance. Allah will only grant a person acceptance when he excels in ilm, and with ilm he excels in amal also. All the luminaries that we talk about, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah ta'ala, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, or the Sahaba rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi majmayin, the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in, our Akabir, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangahi rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlavi rahimahullah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not grant them acceptance only on the basis of their ilm. Allah granted them acceptance because they excelled in ilm and amal both. And I would not be wrong to say that they excelled in ilm only because they excelled in amal. It is true taqwa, it is through amal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of ilm. Right from their student days, they would remain very, very punctual in practicing what they learn. They would remain very firm in practicing what they learn. Under conditions during the student days, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I can recall an incident which I have heard from my respected Ustad Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib. دامت برکاتہم. But during the student days, حضرت مولانا مسیح اللہ خان صاحب رحمہ اللہ تعالی اور حضرت مفتی محمود صاحب رحمہ اللہ تعالی were good friends, and they were studying together at the same time in Darul Ghulman. So one day Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahimahullah Hutara noticed that Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala is in some kind of stress, grief, tension. He is not himself. So Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, after a while, questioned him as to what was wrong, what was bothering him. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said that an incident took place last night which is bothering me greatly. He said, I saw in my dream that I was sat on my bed studying a book, and I was engrossed in mutala, as is the culture of the people of ilm. I was engrossed in mutala, and my bed was right next to the window. Somebody came to the window and he said, Assalamu alaikum. So he said, I did not turn my face towards him, and whilst continuing with my study, I said, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The person who had come to meet me waited for a while, and then he left because I did not pay attention to him. After he left, it occurred to me that the person who had come was no other than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I felt regretful, I was full of remorse that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to meet me and I did not pay attention to him. So I closed the book, I left my room immediately and I started looking for him, but he had left, I was unable to see him. This is what is bothering me, that I feel that there is something in my life which has become the hurdle between me and observing the beautiful face of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the condition of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah during student days. This is how pious he was, that he did not just put it aside, no, it was only a dream. He felt grieved. Now look at the status of Maulana Masihullah, Maulana Mufti Mahmud Rahim Sahib Bangui Rahmatullahi Alayhi. When Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi heard this incident from Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he said, don't worry. He smiled, Mufti Sahib was... He smiled and he said, don't worry. He was humorous. So he said, don't worry. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in your dream tonight, don't do that. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns again tonight in your dream, don't do that. Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi felt a little peace. The following day, when Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayhi saw Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, his face was glowing with happiness. So he said, what happened? He said, the same thing happened. I saw in my dream that I was studying, sitting on my bed. A person came, he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I immediately recognized the voice. I quickly got up with full reverence and respect. I said, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I met our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear children, irman amal dos. I am also a student like you. I am also a student like you, and I am also in need of these advices. I am also in need of this nasiha. We remain in need of nasiha until we breathe our last. Until we breathe our last. Please, do not disconnect yourself from the madrasa. Do not disconnect yourself from your asatiza. Do not disconnect yourself from your mashayikh. Remain connected to your asatida. Remain connected to your akabir. Al barakatu maa akabirikum. Baraka lies with your akabir, with your mashayikh, with your asatida. Remain connected. Remain connected and always remain humble. Always remain junior. They will always remain senior. We may become more famous, we may become more well known, but our seniors are seniors. They will always remain seniors. Remain connected, and whatever you do in life, consult them. Make mashwara with them. Because shaitan and nafs, our two enemies, will remain with us forever. And whatever you have learned, my dear students, hold fast to it. Bring it in your life. Bring it. Do not assume yourself as ulama. Oh, I have become an alim. I have become an alim. When people call you Maulana or Alim, say that it is a good thought on his part. May Allah reward you. But I know my work. I know what I am. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say that laysa al-ilmu, laysa talabul hadith. He used to say, laysa talabul hadith, haddasana fulanun an fulan. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, great muhaddis and a very pious personality. He says, laysa talabul hadith, haddasana fulanun an fulan. حدثنا فلان عن فلان is not طلب الحديث وإنما طلب الحديث والخشية لله. طلب الحديث is الخشية لله, خشية لله. If as a result of studying the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our hearts are enlightened with خشية for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must know that alhamdulillah we have become ulama. But as a result of studying ahadith, no khashiyah comes in our hearts. There is no inclination for salat, no inclination for tilawat, no inclination for carrying out the do's, abstaining from the don'ts. Then we are ulama by name only, not in its true sense. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, لَيْسَ الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ وَالشَّرِّ. In reality, that person is not an alim who understands permissible and impermissible, who understands khair and shar, who is able to differentiate between khair and shar, who is able to differentiate between right and wrong, who is able to differentiate between evil and truth. He is not a true alim. Who is a true alim? وَإِنَّمَا الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ فَيَتَّبِعُهُ وَيَعْرِفُ الشَّرَّ فَيَجْتَنِبُهُ. The true alim is he who recognizes khair and he follows khair, and who recognizes shar and who abstains from shar. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, very high status in ilm and very high status in amal. And when a person excels in both ilm and amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him acceptance in this world at the time of death and also in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to excel in ilm and amal both. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was a chosen figure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses personalities in every era to safeguard his deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain people for ahadith, certain people for Quran, Allah chooses certain people for fiqh, Allah chooses certain people for tazkiyah. Allah safeguards his deen. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was one of these personalities. It is for this reason Allama Zahabi rahimahullah ta'ala says that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala started attending the majalis of the muhaddiseen in order to hear the ahadith and to memorize the ahadith from the year 2005 Hijri. He was born in the year 205. So he was born in the year 194 Hijri from the year 205 Hijri. Approximately 10 to 11 years. 10 years. Because he was born in Shawwal. And Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram is 205. So it could be 10 years, it could be 11 years. But Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala himself says that when I was 10 or even less than 10, I started memorizing the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala, the qatib of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that I heard Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala say, ulhimtu hifz al-hadith wa ana fil maktab. I was still studying in Maktab when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired me to learn the ahadith, to memorize the ahadith. Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala said, when I asked him, Kam ata alayka ibad? How old were you then? So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah said, Ashara sinin aw aqalla. I was 10 years old or even less than 10 years old. Allama Qastalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that in his teens, when he was in his teens, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi had already memorized 70,000 ahadith. And Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Iyash rahimahullahu ta'ala says that Katabtu anhu wa huwa amrad. When I took ahadith from Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he became the Shaykh, and when he started imparting lessons on ahadith, and when the talaba started going into his majalis, his beard had not come out yet. Abu Bakr ibn Abi Ayash rahimahullah ta'ala says, At the age of 16, he went to all the mashayikh, the muhaddisin who were in Bukhara, around Bukhara, and he memorized all the ahadith, the treasures of ahadith that were in Bukhara here at the age of 16. And at the age of 16, he traveled to Makkah Mukarrama for Hajj with his mother and with his older brother Ahmad. And after Hajj, his older brother Ahmad returned to Bukhara with his mother. And he remained behind. He said to his mother, I want to remain behind. I want to acquire ilm from the shuyukh of Makkah Mukarrama, shuyukh of Medina Munawwara. And his rahalat began, travels for hadith. And he remained in Makkah Mukarrama for 2 years. And his only engagement was to take as many ahadith as possible from the muhaddithin in Makkah Mukarrama. At the age of 18, he traveled to Medina Munawwara. And in Medina Munawwara, again, only occupation, ahadith. And after completing his task in Medina Munawwara, he traveled to all the Bilad-e Islamiyah. Where, in the Muslim world, wherever he knew that a muhaddith existed, he traveled. And sometimes he went to just one place over and over again. He himself says, I myself don't know how many times I traveled to Baghdad and Basra. He traveled over and over again. Allama Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala says that Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala acquired his ahadith from 1080 shuyukh. Ask any muhaddith in the world today, from how many shuyukh have you acquired hadith? I doubt if any muhaddith will go above 100. And 100 is a large number as well. I doubt that much. Normally, in the subcontinent, we have maximum 6 asatida. We take hadith from 6 teachers. Yes, ijazah we take from many, only ijazah. But Imam Bukhari, no, he traveled and he actually took hadith. Not only ijazah, he took hadith from 1080 shuyukh. Not as he can remember, my friends, 1080 shuyukh. This is the effort he exerted. And thereafter he compiled Bukhari Sharif, which comprises of 7,397 hadith. And this Bukhari Sharif is known as Asahul Kutubi Ba'da Kitabillah, the most authentic book after the Quran. The most authentic book after the Quran. The chapter we are studying at the moment is the last chapter of Bukhari Sharif. And I am only a student. I said to Murana Muhammad Hafidhahullah Ta'ala yesterday, Murana Harun Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, that you are young ulama, mashallah, with lot of academic expertise. I am Qaleelul Ilm and Qaleelul Amal, and I don't have any expertise. It would have been better if you had completed Bukhari Sharif, and if I was given the opportunity to say a few words of advice to my fellow colleagues who are studying here. But just one or two points I would like to mention in regard to this final Bab. Babun Qawlullahi wa Nadawun Mawazirun Qistal Yawmul Qiyamah. وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ تُوزَنُ وقال مجاهد: القسطاس والعدل بالرومية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجاهل. This is ترجمة الباب. So this is one part of the باب. This is ترجمة الباب. This is one part of the last باب. The second part is the سند. وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن أشقاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن أمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And the third part is the hadith itself. كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن، خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان، سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. پہلی جلد رب العالمين. So we have divided the last part, last bab, into three parts. And the first bab is can also be divided into three parts. The first part, babun kayfa kana badul wahy ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa qawlullahi azza wa jal inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila nuhin wa nabiyyina min ba'di. The second part is the sanad. وبه قال حدثنا الحميدي قال حدثنا سفيان قال حدثنا يحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري قال أخبرني محمد بن إبراهيم التيمي أنه سمع علقمة بن وقاص الليثي يقول سمعت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه على المنبر يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. ذا سند. And then the hadith itself, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لامرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو إلى امرأة ينكهها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. Imam Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى was a very very intelligent person. The ulama have said فقه البخاري في تراجم. And there are two interpretations to this statement. One is that if one desires to understand how clever Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was, how intelligent he was, how much basirat he had, how much tafaqquh and faqah he had, one should only study the Tarajim-e Abwab. When one studies the Tarajim-e Abwab, a person realizes how clever, how intelligent Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was. Allama Anwar Shah Sahib Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Allam, he used to say that till today there are many Tarajim-e Abwab in Bukhari Sharif. The ulama have not been able to understand the message of Imam Bukhari till today. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, and he used to say that whatever the ulama have said regarding certain Tarajim-e Abwab are takhminat and guesses only. And he would say that I wish Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala would have put pen to paper and wrote something about the Tarajim-e Abwab of Bukhari Sharif. The ummah would have been presented with pearls and gems if Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala had done this, because he was also very intelligent. Allama Ibn Khaldun rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his Muqaddama of Tarikh Ibn Khaldun, he says, Sameto kathiram min shuyukhina yakulun. He says that I have heard many of my mashayikh say that sharhu hadal kitab daynun alal ummati. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has given a great gift to the ummah in the form of Bukhari Sharif. So the ummah is indebted, and the ummah can only repay this debt by writing a very good commentary of Bukhari Sharif. So Allah Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayhi said that I have heard many of my mashayikh say that sharwa hadal kitab daynun ala ummati. Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi had not written Fathul Bari yet. When Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala completed authoring Fathul Bari, after that his student Allama Hafiz Shamsuddin Sakhawi rahimahullah ta'ala said that the bed that was on Ummah has been repaid. Because my teacher, Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani Rahmatullahi Alayhi, has written a fabulous commentary on Bukhari Sharif. But Allama Yusuf Binnari Rahimahullah Ta'ala was a great muhaddith of the Ummah also. Allama Yusuf Binnari Rahimahullah Ta'ala commenting on the statement of Allama Shamsuddin Sakhawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi said that as far as the sanad and the ahadith of Bukhari Sharif are concerned, Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani Rahmatullahi Alayhi has repaid the debt that was upon the Ummah. But Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani Rahmatullahi Alayhi has not been able to repay the debt that was upon the Ummah as far as the Tarajim Abwab are concerned. There are so many places in Ummatul Qari where a person is unable to understand what Imam Bukhari Rahmatullahi Alayhi is saying. He does not feel satisfied after studying Ummatul Qari what Imam Bukhari is trying to say. And thereafter, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, after saying this, he used to say that if Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlavi Rahmatullahi Alayhi would have completed his work on At-Tarajim wal Abwab, then we would have been able to say that the Ummah has repaid Imam Bukhari Rahmatullahi Alayhi as far as the Tarajim Abwab are concerned. From this, I would like to draw the attention of young ulama, especially young ulama and the students, that our akabir were very great in ilm also. Why should we become the victims of inferiority complex? Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Rahimahullah Ta'ala, great work on At-Tarajim wal Abwab. But Allama Yusuf Binnari Rahmatullahi Alayhi, great muhaddith, he says that the work of Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlavi Rahmatullahi Alayhi on Tarajim Abwab far excels the work of Allama Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani Rahmatullahi Alayhi on At-Tarajim wal Abwab. So Imam Bukhari Rahmatullahi Alayhi was a genius. He was very intelligent, very clever. So the ulama, they study carefully the Tarajim Abwab and the Sanad and obviously the Hadith, and they come with so many nikat. So the point I would like to raise in this majlis today is that what is the connection between the first bab and the last bab, the first Sanad and the last Sanad, and the first Hadith and the last Hadith? There is so much we can discuss as far as the ahadith of Bukhari Sharif are concerned, the Tarajim Abwab, but very briefly, because it is something that both the ulama, the students and the awam will be able to understand and benefit, inshallah. Every amal that we carry out has a mabda and a muntaha. Every amal that we carry out has a mabda, beginning. And every amal that we carry out has a muntaha. Muntaha is the result of that amal. What is the mabda of amal? Mabda of amal is ilm and niyyah. Ilm and niyyah is the mabda. Because without ilm and without niyyah, you cannot carry out an amal. And let's say we have a person who doesn't know that something like tahajjud does exist. So if he does not have ilm of tahajjud, he will not be able to make intention of tahajjud. He will not be able to resolve to perform tahajjud. So ilm comes first, after ilm comes intention. That I know this and I want to do that, I want to acquire that. So ilm and niyyah, knowledge and intention is the mabda of amal. And what is the result of amal? First the mabda is ilm and niyyah, thereafter comes the amal. And after the amal will come the result of that amal. Sometimes the result is positive, result is negative, result is good, result is bad, result is shar, result is khair, result is iqab, result is sawab. Imam Bukhari Rahimahullah Ta'ala begins the book by mentioning the mabda, ilm. Babun kayfa kana batul wahyi ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So wahy, Badu'ul wahy. Badu'ul wahy is him. And thereafter he brings the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ نِيَّةِ نِيَّةِ is also مَبْدَى. So مَبْدَى of every amal is ilm and niyyah. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah he brings ilm and niyyah at the beginning. And in order to understand the muntaha of any amal, the result of any amal, we need a scale. Without scale, we will not know whether the result is good or result is bad. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions the muntaha in the last bab. وَنَذَوِ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ الْيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. As a result of this nukta, what do we understand? What we understand is that in order to become successful in the hereafter, we need to make sure that we have the correct ilm. Because ilm is the mabda. If ilm is authentic, amal will be authentic. And if amal is authentic, the result will be good. The result will be weighty in the mizan. If the ilm is not authentic, then the amal will not be authentic. And if the amal is not authentic, then in the mizan, it will not be weighty. The result will be bad. If the ilm is complete, the amal will be complete. And if the amal is complete, the amal will be weighty. So the result will be good. And if the ilm is incomplete, the amal will be incomplete. And if amal is incomplete, then the amal will not be weighty. And if the amal is not weighty, the result will not be good. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is expressing his desire for the students that make sure you work very hard. Make sure you work very hard. Because the Bukhari Sharif, the two volumes of Bukhari Sharif, the 7,397 hadith, comprises of various amal. So work very hard, understand the amal, and after understanding the amal, make sure your intention is pure whilst reciting, reading the book, studying the book, and make sure that you carry out these amal with the correct intention, so that when the mizan is erected on the day of Qiyamah, all your amal will become weighty, and as a result, your ultimate result will be good, and Allah will grant you entry into Jannah. So this is the connection between the first bab and the last bab. What is the connection between the first sanad and the last sanad? In the first sanad, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala takes the hadith. He takes the first hadith from his ustad Imam Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala. And Imam Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala is Makki and Qurayshi. And by initiating the book with the hadith of this Qurayshi Makki ustad, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah is following the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qaddimu Qurayshan. Qaddimu Qurayshan. Give preference to the Qurayshis. So Imam Bukhari initiates the kitab with Humaydi. And Humaydi is derived from the word Hamd. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi takes the last hadith from his ustad, Ahmad ibn Ashqab. And Ahmad is also derived from the root word Hamd. So Humaydi is derived from Hamd, Ahmad is derived from Hamd. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is telling the students and the readers that the contents of this hadith, contents of this book, from the beginning until the end, are nothing but mahmood. They are praiseworthy. Each and every hadith is praiseworthy, each and every sentence is praiseworthy, each and every word is praiseworthy, because each and every word is the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a result of this nukta, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is giving our attention towards this fact, that the student who will study, work hard, and understand each and every Mahmud hadith that is contained within this kitab, and thereafter he will practice and propagate, he will also become Mahmud among was the creation of Allah and in the eyes of the Creator. So my dear students, this is not the last day of Bukhari Sharif. Inshallah, we make a firm resolution that we will keep ourselves attached to this Mahmood item, this praiseworthy item, the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on a daily basis, we will study Ahadith. One Hadith, two, three, four. Begin with Bukhari Sharif. Once Bukhari Sharif is completed, begin with Muslim Sharif. One, two, three Ahadith daily. One, two, three Ahadith daily. Remain from the people of Ahlul Hadith. Remain from the people of, remain amongst the group of Talibina Ilmi Hadith until you breathe your last. The third point that we understand from this is that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is bringing our attention to the fact that a person, from the time he reaches the age of understanding, should begin the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should continue the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout his life until he reaches the end of his life. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. And until he reaches the hereafter, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah, he will ultimately say, وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The first hadith is narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the last hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a muhajir. And Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a muhajir. We understand from that ilm cannot be acquired without hijrah. Ilm cannot be acquired. We have to make hijrah. Hijrah from one town to another town. There are South African students here in this class who have come from other towns. Hijrah from one town to another town. Hijrah from one country to another country. And the least is hijrah from your home to the madrasa. Ilm cannot be acquired whilst remaining in your homes from the internet. Ilm can only be acquired through hijrah. You have to leave your home, going to the local masjid, going to the local madrasa. You have to leave your country, you have to leave your city, going to another city, another country, spend time in the madrasa, stay in the company of your teachers. From heart to heart, we need to acquire ilm. Then only ilm-e-hakiki and ilm-e-nubuwa will come in our hearts. Hijrah, this is hijrah number one. And this is hijrah-e-zahiri. This is hijrah-e-zahiri, zahiri hijrah. And in order to acquire ilm, we also need another hijrah, hijrah-e-batini. And hijrah-e-batini is tarkul masiyah. We need to leave sins. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ خَطَايَ وَالْدُنُوبِ. The true muhajir is he who leaves aside, sinful activities, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The true muhajir is he who forsakes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Another point, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was from the afqahu sahaba, and Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was from the ahfadu sahaba. So we learn from this that only hifz is not enough and only tafakkuh is not enough. A person will be able to truly appreciate ilm and benefit from ilm if he has both hifz and tafakkuh. And for hifz and tafakkuh, again, we need to abstain from sinful activities. شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِئِنْ سُوءَ حِفْزِ فَارْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاسِ وَأَخْبَرَنِي بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَى بِعَاسِ. In order to be able to memorize the Quran and make our hearts the treasures of this ilm, تَرْكُ الْمَعَاسِ is necessary. Tarkul Masiyah, Ittibai Shariyat. And in order to acquire tafakkuh, the true understanding of Deen, the true understanding of the mizaj of Sharia, mazak of Sharia, again, the ترك المعصية لاتباع الشريعة. Once Fuqaha were mentioned in the company of Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, what did he say? وَهَلْ رَأَيْتَ فَقِيهًا. Have you come across a faqih? Do you know who a faqih is? Who is a faqih? الزَّاهِدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالرَّاغِبُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. A faqih is that person who is zahid from the material aspects. He abstains from worldly pleasures. وَالرَّاغِبُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and he has inclination towards the akhirah. وَالْبَصِيرُ بِأَمْرِ دِينِهِ, and who has full insight regarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمُدَاوِمُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ, and who continually remains in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need both hibz and fiqh. In order to acquire hibz, in order to acquire fiqh, tarkul maskiya is necessary. Now coming another point, as far as the sanad is concerned, that the first hadith is ghareeb and the last hadith is also ghareeb. The first hadith is ghareeb and the last hadith is ghareeb. The first hadith is ghareeb, last hadith is ghareeb. Where do our minds go? Kun fi dunya ka'annaka ghareeb. At the outset, when you begin to study the hadith, keep this in mind that I am only a traveler in this world, so I have to study properly with sincerity and practice what I'm studying. And when you complete your studies, do not become the victim of superiority complex that I have become a Maulana now. No, remember, you are a traveler. And when you leave this world, you will be questioned. So continue studying and continue practicing. And another message we understand from the two ahadith being ghareeb, especially the last one, is that you will face challenges when you go out in the outside world. And people will oppose you. But remember, بدا الاسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا فطوبى للغرباء. In order to remain on haq, if people alienate you, then don't worry, because بدا الاسلام غريبا, in the initial stages Islam was alienating. وسيعود غريبا, and a time will come before qiyamah when again Islam will be alienated. So the people of haq will be alienated, but don't worry, فطوبى للغرباء, fortune is for those people who are alienated as a result of being on haq. Now the connection between the two hadiths. The first hadith is innamal amalu bil niyyat. In this first hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned maqamati abdiyat in the first hadith. And in the last hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned maqamati uluhiyyah. This is the final bahas, inshallah, thereafter we will conclude. In the first hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned maqamati abdiyyah, which is our maqam. We are abd. So maqamati abdiyyah are our maqam. So we need to understand what are our maqamat. In order to become abd, what do we have to do? And in the last hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned maqamati uluhiyyat. In order for one to be able to acquire maqamati abdiyyat, it is important that he recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognizes the maqamat of the ilah. What are the maqamat of abdiyyat? There is only one maqam of abdiyyat, and that is to become abd. There are no maqamat. There is only one maqam of abd, abdiyyat. Only one maqam. And what is the essence of this maqam of abdiyyat? The essence is that a Muslim and a mu'min should turn the attention of every limb of his towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His forehead is, he has turned his forehead towards Allah. He has turned his body towards Allah. In ruku, he has faced his body towards Allah, in sajda towards Allah. In qiyam, he has faced his body towards Allah. No, outside salat also. He should face his whole life. He should turn his whole life towards Allah. Inamat, what does my creator desire from me? So much so that he should turn his heart towards Allah also, that whatever I am doing, it is only for Allah. Innama al-amalu binniyyat. This is maqam-e abdiyyat. That he turns everything that he does with his eyes, with his ears, with his tongue, should be according to the commands of Allah, and it should be only for the pleasure of Allah. So every limb should turn towards Allah. This is maqam-e abdiyyat. If we are living a life where we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours of our lives, then alhamdulillah, that means we have acquired maqam-e abdiyyat. Because the eyes are doing only that which Allah pleases. The ears are doing only that which pleases Allah. The eyes, the ears, the tongue, the whole body is doing only that which pleases Allah. And the heart is engaged in doing things for Allah only. So the heart is doing that which pleases Allah. So alhamdulillah, we have acquired maqam-e abdiyyat if this is the condition. But we will only be able to acquire this maqam of abdiyyat if we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all his maqamati uluhiyyat. And the maqamati uluhiyyat are four. Number one, maqami tanzeeh. Number two, maqami tanweeh. Number three, maqami tamjeed. And number four, maqami tawheed. What is maqami tanzeeh? Maqami tanzeeh is that we believe from the depth of our heart, we recognize from the depth of our heart, and we experience this in our hearts, and thereafter we wholeheartedly declare that my Creator is pure and free from every fault and deficiencies. This is maqami tanzeeh. And maqami tanweeh, we believe from the depth of our hearts and we experience this. We feel it, we recognize the Creator. And wholeheartedly we declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the embodiment of all excellences. This is maqam-e tanweeh. And maqam-e tamjeed is that we believe from the depth of our heart, we accept, we appreciate, and wholeheartedly we say, He is the greatest and He is the best. Once we understand the first three maqamat, then we don't need to exert any effort to understand the fourth maqam, because once a person accepts the first three maqam, automatically the heart will say, La ilaha illallah. Because this is a being who is free of every fault. This is a being who is an embodiment of every excellence, all excellences. And this is a being who is the greatest and who is the best. Iqtida'an, the heart will automatically say that he is the only one. This is maqam-e tawheed, fourth. So when a servant acquires maqam-e tanzeeh, when he understands maqam-e tanzeeh, when he understands maqam-e tanweeh, when he understands maqam-e tamjeed, automatically he will proclaim the maqam-e tawheed by saying La ilaha illallah. The more we recite kalimat wherein these four maqamat have been mentioned, the more the recognition of our Creator will increase in our hearts. And the more the recognition of the Creator increases in our hearts, the more we will be able to focus our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the body and the soul, the heart and the mind. And the more we are able to do that, more heavier our a'mal will become. It is for this reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا أَقُولَ Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates this hadith, لَا أَقُولَ For me to say, my saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, خير مما دلت عليه الشمس is better than anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because in order to declare maqam tanzeeh, Allah has given us the word subhanallah, pure is Allah. In order to express his maqam tanzeeh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the word alhamdulillah. All praises be to Allah because he is the embodiment of all excellences. In order to express the maqam tamjeed, that he is the best, he is the greatest, Allah has given us the word Allahu Akbar, he is the greatest. And in order to express his maqam tawheed, Allah has given us the word La ilaha illallah. So subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, it is better than the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as a result of these kalimat, a person recognizes his creator. Samurai ibn Jundub radiyallahu ta'ala says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahabbul kalame ilallahi arba'un. There are four sentences which are very much related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, wa la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, wa la ilaha illallah. In this last hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the four maqamat of uluhiyyah. Subhanallah, maqam al-tanzeeh. Subhanallah. Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi says, Subhanallah means, أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا. I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all faults. وَبِحَمْدِهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ أي وَأُسْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِالْمَحَامِدِ كُلِّهَا. And I praise the Creator with all the mahamid that I can think of. Only Muhammad, because he is the embodiment of excellency. So subhanallah matame tanzeeh wa bihamdihi matame tanzeeh. And subhanallah al-azeem. Ay usabbihu Allah ta'ala anil nata'is kulliha ala hasabi azamat shanihi. He is azeem, great matame tanzeeh. And as soon as matame tanzeeh, matame tanweeh and matamik tamjeed sets in a person's heart, iqtidaan, the heart will cry out and say, La ilaha illallah. So subhanallah is maqamik tanzeeh, wa bihamdihi is maqamik tanweeh, and subhanallah al-azeem is maqamik tamjeed. And iqtidaan, the heart will cry out and say, La ilaha illallah. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is concluding the book with a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the four maqamat uluhiyyah. Now it is very easy for us to understand that in one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that for me to say subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar is better than the whole creation. And in another hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the most beloved four sentences to me are subhanallah walhamdulillah wallahu akbar wa la ilaha illallah. And in this hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim habibatani ila rahman, they are beloved to Rahman because they consist of his maqamat. Khabibatani ala al-nisan, very easy, but faqibatani fil nizan, very weighty. Because as a result of these kalimat, a person acquires the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my friends, let us once say wholeheartedly, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Let us say that Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, daily we will read the third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, 100 times. Daily we will say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, 100 times. Inshallah, if we will do this sincerely, with reverence, with respect, with the talab and the desire to acquire the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us that marifat, as a result of which we will be bestowed with maqami abdiyya, where we will be able to focus completely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. May Allah accept the students, their efforts, accept the efforts of the asatidha, accept the efforts of the whole staff, accept the efforts of each and every person right from the beginning of this madrasa until now. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of their barakat, accept us all as well, accept our dear and dear ones, and accept the whole ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant khair and barakah to us, our dear ones, to the whole ummah in this world and also in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زينا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني سبيلا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم انا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر الى وجهك والشوق الى لقائك. اللهم انا نسألك ايمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ووافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في اعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم اجعل خير اعمالنا خواتيمها وخير اعمالنا اواخرها وخير ايامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير ايامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير ايامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الاسلام يا اهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم من احييته منا فاحيه على الاسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الايمان. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم. اللهم بل ألف بين قلوبهم. اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم فأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق. اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق. اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين. اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم انكرهم ولا تنكر عليهم. اللهم زدهم ولا تنقصهم ولا تسلط عليهم من لا يرحمهم ولا يخافك فيهم. اللهم اغفر الحرمين الشريفين. اللهم اغفر الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الاقصى.
خير بلاد المسلمين، اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن اوليائك المقربين ومن العلماء الربانيين، اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك، اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك، اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم بارك لنا فيما اتيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا، اللهم انا نعوذ بك من زلال نعمتك فتحملنا بيدك ومجاهده فتنك وجميل سخطك، اللهم انا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشفاده الاعداء، اللهم لا تمنا مكرك، اللهم لا تمنا مكرك، اللهم لا تمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك، اللهم لا تنسنا ذكرك، اللهم لا تنسنا ذكرك، اللهم لا تهدك عنا سترك، اللهم لا تهدك عنا سترك، اللهم لا تهدك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين، اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين، اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين، إليك ربنا فحببنا وفي أنفسنا لك ربنا فبلغنا وفي أعين الناس فعدلنا ومن سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا وعلى صالح الأخلاق فطهرنا وعلى الصراط المستقيم فثبتنا وعلى الأعداء أعدائك أعداء الإسلام فانصرنا، اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا، اللهم انكرنا ولا تنكر علينا، اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا، يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين، رحمك كرمك معاملة فرما، يسر سهولتك معاملة فرما، عفو عافيتك معاملة فرما، فضل عنايتك معاملة فرما، حفظ أمانك معاملة فرما، يا العالمين خذ رضا فرمانا، خذ رضا علي خمس ياف علي أرد جيل الدنيا، يا الله معفر هذه، يا الله معفر هذه، يا الله معفر هذه، هنالك كبائر كل معفر هذه، صغائر كل معفر هذه، يا العالمين معفر هذه، معفر هذه، معفر هذه، يا العالمين ترى محبوب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كي أحاديث الشريفة كا ایک بہترین مجموعہ جو تیرے ایک بہت ہی برگزیدہ درجے نے جمع کیا، آئے ترا نبی ترا علی کی محنت شاقہ کے نتیجے میں ارا نبی ختم ہوا ہے، ارا نبی اس کی برکت سے تو لوگوں کے دلوں کو حاجت پوری کرتا ہے، ارا نبی ہماری سب سے بڑی حاجت، ارا نبی ہماری سب سے بڑی ضرورت یہی ہے کہ تو ہمیں دائمی مغفرت کا پروانہ دے دے، ارا نبی دائمی مغفرت کا پروانہ دے دے، ارا نبی دائمی اس نے خاتمہ کا پروانہ دے دے، ارا نبی دخول جنت کا دائمی پروانہ دے دے، ارا نبی تیری رضا کا دائمی پروانہ دے دے، ارا نبی ہم سب بہت تمنا لے کر آج یہاں حاضر ہوئے ہیں، ارا نبی ہم گندے ہیں نکمے ہیں مگر تیرے بندے ہیں، خار ہیں بدکار ہیں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں تو جب ان کی داڑھیوں کی سفیدی سے حیا آتی ہے ان کی ہم ان کی بات رکھ رہی ہے نوجوان بیٹھے جن کی حفاظت ہو گئی فرشتے رش کرتے ہیں ان کی آمین کی لاج رکھ لے یہاں ارباب نسبت بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں ان کی آمین کی لاج رکھ لے علماء حفاظ قرہ مفتی علی کرام بیٹھے ہیں ان کی آمین کی لاج رکھ لے العالم مسافر بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں ان کی آمین کی لاج رکھ لے یہ طلبا بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں جن کے قدموں کے نیچے تیرے فرشتے پر بھی جاتے ہیں العالم ان کی آمین کی لاج رکھ لے اے اللہ اے اللہ جامع مدنی اللہ اس وقت جو مجمع بیٹھا ہوا ہے اس میں کوئی تو تیرا بندہ ہوگا جو تیری بارگاہ میں مقبول ہوگا الہ العالمین اس کی آمین کی لاج رکھ کر ہماری مغفرت فرما دے پوری امت کی مغفرت فرما دے ہمارے احوال کو بدل دے پوری امت کے احوال کو بدل دے اے اللہ اے اللہ حق کی حفاظت فرما اے حق کی حفاظت فرما ہر شر سے حفاظت فرما اس مدرسے کو کامیابی سے ہم کنار فرما ترقی سے مارا مان فرما اس کے پانی کی قبر کو نور سے منور فرما ان پر ہمیں درجات عطا فرما الہ العالمین اس مدرسے میں اب تک جن لوگوں نے تعاون کیا ہے ان سب کو الہ العالمین بہترین جزا عطا فرما دنیاوی اخروی ترقی سے مارا مان فرما اس اداری کو کسی کا محتاج نہ بنا الہ العالمین عزتوں سے مارا مان فرما اے رب العالمین یہاں کے اساتذہ کے روم میں فیوز میں خلوص میں الہ العالمین کل نہیں میں مدد میں محنت میں جہاں خوشحالی میں الہ العالمین اور زیادہ برکت عطا فرما اے رب العالمین اس ادارے کو کہ فیض کو فیض ظاہری کو فیض باطنی کو چار جانے عالم میں عام فرما الہ العالمین یہاں کے طلبا کو قبول فرما یہاں سے جو پڑھ کر گئے ہیں انہیں بھی محروم نہ فرما آگے جو آئیں گے انہیں بھی محروم نہ فرما الہ العالمین ہمارے نئے علماء کو بے انتہا قبول فرما بے انتہا قبول فرما بے انتہا قبول فرما ان کے ماں باپ کے لیے ان کے اساتذہ کے لیے ان کے سرپرستوں کے لیے ہم سب کے لیے الہ العالمین یہ صدقے جاریہ بنا دے الہ العالمین امت کی کشتی میں ناو ڈول ہو رہی ہے اسے سنبھالنے والا ماں خدا ان کو بنا دے یا رب العالمین پورے عالم میں ان میں حدیث ان میں تفسیر ان میں فقہ ہدایت کو عام کرنے والا ان کو بنا دے الہ العالمین انہیں شریعت پر ثابت قدمی نصیب فرما الہ العالمین انہیں استغنا کی دولت سے مولا مال فرما توازن کی دولت سے مولا مال فرما اخلاص کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما زہد کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما توکل کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما الہ العالمین تو ان کا کفیر بن جا تو ان کا کفیر بن جا تو ان کا کفیر بن جا ان کی حفاظت فرما ان کی حفاظت فرما ان کی حفاظت فرما دنیا طلبی سے حفاظت فرما یا رحم الراحمین علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما الہ العالمین علماء شامل فرما الہ العالمین نے ہمارے اکابرین علماء دیوبند کے ان کے نقش قدم پر چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اس کے منہج کو ہم سب کو اکابرین علماء دیوبند کے منہج کو مضبوطی سے تھامے رہنے کی موت تک توفیق عطا فرما ہمیں ان اکابر سے وابستگی عطا فرما الہ العالمین نے جو کچھ ظاہری باطنی دولتیں ملی ہے الہ العالمین جو عزت کی زندگی ہم گزار رہے ہیں روٹی کے جو ٹکڑے ہمیں مل رہے ہیں وہ ان بزرگوں کی برکت سے ہے لیکن الہ العالمین آج ہم انہیں بزرگوں کی تعلیمات سے روگردانی کر رہے ہیں الہ العالمین معاف فرما دے اور ان سے موت تک وابستگی عطا فرما ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین، ان کی دعاؤں اور ان کی توجہات کا ہمیں مرکز بنا الہ العالمین، ان کے روح خیروں میں خوب برکت پیدا فرما، جو جا چکے ہیں انہیں جواری رحمت میں جزا عطا فرما، ان سب کو ہماری طرف سے جزائے خیر عطا فرما الہ العالمین، جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے، جو ہم سے متوقع ہے جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے، جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں محبت رکھتے ہیں، خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ اساتذہ مشائی دوست احباب حاضرین مجلس شرکائی مجلس الہ العالمین، سبھی کے تمام زائد کے مقاصد کو پورا فرما، بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما، پریشان حالوں کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما، مصیبت زدہ کو عافیت عطا فرما، دنیوی اخروی تمام حاجتیں پوری فرما، دنیوی اخروی خیرات سے مالا مال فرما، یا ارحم الراحمین، آپ کے محبوب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جن بھلائیوں کی دعا مانگی ہے وہ ساری بھلائیاں عطا فرما، جن برائیوں سے پناہ مانگی ہے ان برائیوں سے پناہ عطا فرما، اللهم انا نسالك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم، رب اغفر وارحم، رب اغفر وارحم، رب اغفر وارحم، وأنت خير الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين. ہمارے حضرت مولانا یوسف چتلا صاحب دامت برکاتہ اور دوسرے جو اکابر علماء مشائخ جو یہاں تشریف فرما ہے الہ العالمین، سب کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما، ان کے ٹھنڈے میٹھے سایوں کو ہم لوگوں پر تاجر قائم فرما، بالخصوص حضرت مولانا یوسف صاحب کے سایہ کو اس ادارے پر دیر تک قائم فرما، ان کے فیوز و برکات سے اس ادارے کو یہاں کے افراد کو خوب متمتع فرما، مالا مال فرما، سبحان ربك رب العزت عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.